Yes. Morning. Welcome to First Christian Church. Please take this opportunity to silence all cell phones and prepare for worship as we listen to the prelude. Thank you. Let's see. We have a few announcements this morning. Today is the last chance to buy tickets for the Week of Compassion Dinner. If interested, contact Debbie Mestis if you wish to donate a pie or other dessert. Also today, the Young Adult and Family Community Group will have a gathering today at Buckboard Park. And see Michelle Elser for more information. Next Sunday, August 18th, will be Reverend McBride's last day in the pulpit. You can join in wishing the McBrides farewell as Pastor Cynthia prepares to begin a new ministry in Portland, Oregon. Also, in between, until we have an interim, there will be two elders on call for spiritual care. Cindy Huckfelt and Mark Williams will be taking the last couple weeks of August. The upcoming pulpit guest is Cindy Huckfelt. Also, you can take this time to fill out the friendship sheets located in pews. Are there any other last minute announcements? Levi, I know your flatbed truck is broken and I will fix it as soon as I find the missing piece. If there aren't any more announcements, let's stand and greet each other as we prepare for the opening hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
didn't come to it, but I feel like an hour I like to spend in the podcast work. But
great is that. Please join me in the call to worship located in your bulletin. By faith, we have come to worship this day.
We embrace one another in love and seek Christ's presence here.
By faith, we live each day working to make the world a better place. Please bow our heads and pray. Father God, Lord Jesus, and Holy Spirit, we come to you in faith, not because we can see or touch you, but because we hope in the promise you had given us. You have proven faithful to us by providing for us again and again with food, shelter, clothing, wisdom, and leadership. Now as we enter into a time of transition, we ask for strength and leadership. We will walk by faith that you will provide for us, even though we do not know what that walk will exactly look like. We know that you will be there. Hear us now as we pray the way you taught us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thine kingdom come, thine will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Be seated. Our hymn of prayer today is Be Still My Soul, number 566. We'll sing verses 1 and 2. Verses 1 and 2. Children, come forward for a time of sharing. Good morning, Levi.
Good morning.
I'm glad you're here today. Hi, Mackenzie. Hi, Reese.
Hi. Oh, my dad's here.
Yes, Dad's here in the front. We just sang a song that said, Be Still My Soul.
Yeah.
One of the ways that sometimes we're still at church is when we light a candle and say a prayer. I'm going to light the candles this morning. Do you want to watch?
Yeah.
There's one. And here's the other one. There's two candles. Do you want to blow it out?
Yeah,
don't touch it. Just blow it out. Mackenzie can help. Blow it out. That's hard, isn't it?
I'll hold it out.
We'll set it over here.
Hey.
When we light a candle, it's a way of reminding us that God's light is in our hearts.
I want one.
You can have one in a minute. You know, sometimes there are things in our hearts that we can't see, like our love for people. Levi can see Daddy right there.
Okay.
And Mackenzie can see Papa sitting on the aisle, waving. But even when we're someplace else, we're in another room and we can't see them, they're still in our hearts. So sometimes we have things in our hearts that you can't see, but they're very real. Other times it's fun to have things with us that we can see and touch. I know, the air conditioner just came on. We could feel it.
It's cold.
It's cold.
Yeah.
I have with me a basket of rocks. One of my little friends here at church, Blake Stupak, he's not here today. He loves rocks.
I like rocks.
And I didn't know that about him. And he has a rock collection. I have a rock collection, too.
I want to.
I thought maybe Blake wouldn't be the only one who likes rocks, so I wondered if you all would like to pick a rock from Pastor Cynthia's collection you can keep. Which one do you want? Levi wants the big, heavy black one. That's slate.
I want a white one.
And a white one, too. Okay, we're picking two rocks. You get to pick two, Reese. He picked a white one and a black one, too. Mackenzie, you want a rock? Let Mackenzie pick one. You want a rock?
I want one more.
There we go. Everyone has a couple rocks.
I got one couple rocks.
You know, all the different kinds of rocks there are in the world, they're different shapes and sizes. Some of them are kind of heavy, and some of them don't weigh as much. Some of them are different colors and different textures. Mackenzie has one that's very smooth. It got tossed around by water in a river. And Levi has one that's kind of rough. He actually has a lump of coal. Might come in handy at Christmas time. Levi has a lump of coal that came all the way from a coal mine in West Virginia. So, Mom, his fingers are going to be black, and it's your preacher's fault. But she knows how to wash hands, so it's good. And Reese picked what is called coke. It's a piece of coal that has been fired, so some of the impurities have been burned away. So it's just as black as the coal, but it feels different. God made all the different rocks in the world. You need another one? Okay. Everybody, we're doing one more rock. Everybody gets one more rock. Mackenzie's peeking. She's trying to decide. She likes the round, smooth ones.
I like rocks.
And there's one for Reese. Which one do you want to go with what you've got?
I
That's a cool one, isn't it? It's real lumpy.
I got lots of rocks.
You got lots of rocks. You got so many.
Oh, yes.
All the different rocks there are in the world, God made them all. And God likes them all. It doesn't matter if they're big or little or dark or light or rough or smooth. Just like God loves all the people in the world. Some of us are big and little, and some of us are rough and smooth. And different times we act different ways, but God still loves us. So this morning I just wanted to share with you all, as I get ready to move to Oregon, we only have one more Sunday together. I wanted you to know that you will be in my heart when I move. I won't get to see you every Sunday, but you will still be in my heart, and I will love each and every one of you. And your moms and dads will share pictures on Facebook, and I'll get to watch you grow up and learn and grow at church.
Okay.
How about we hold our rocks tight, and we'll say a prayer to God who made the rocks and God who made the children. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the ways in which your love is made real in our lives. Come and dwell in our hearts today so that we are as certain of you and our faith in you as we are of the rocks that we hold. And all God's children said,
I want to show that to my dad.
Amen. You can go show Dad your rocks.
Okay.
And you all can go to Children's Church, and if you need to show somebody your rocks on the way or ask them to hold them for you, that's fine too.
Uh-oh. I lost out there.
You got them all? I should have given you a bag. Okay, it's time for Children's Church. Take your rocks. There's Mom. She's come to walk with you. You got to run, Mom. He's fast. As our children delight us with joyous shouts heading to Children's Church, I invite you to look on the back of your bulletin at prayer concerns of the congregation. You're invited to take a prayer card out of the pew rack in front of you and write a note to someone who needs to know we're praying for them today. It had been our plan to have today's card shower be dedicated to Lois Cook. Plans have changed. Lois had a very intense week. She went to the hospital about a week ago, began being treated for pneumonia. Then we received word the treatment was not working. Paul and I went to visit with her Wednesday afternoon and prayed together. And he and I talked about how much and how rapidly she had declined since the last time either of us had seen her. Paul went back Thursday afternoon to pray with Lois. On Wednesday, the conversation with her family had been that she would move in with her daughter Becky and come under hospice care. By the time Paul saw her on Thursday afternoon, it was apparent that Lois was headed to heaven, not to hospice. And so Paul offered prayer with the family and was a comforting presence for them. I went to the hospital about 5:30 and arrived just as Lois had passed, and offered a prayer over her in the hospital bed and gave thanks to God for her life. I encourage you to write a prayer card to Lois's family, and we will save those cards and give them to them next Saturday morning. Lois's funeral will be here in the sanctuary at 10 a.m. next Saturday. Those of you who've been in the church for a long time have known Lois for many, many years, and you no doubt remember her husband Delmer and all of their faithful attendance and involvement in our congregation. When I first arrived here, Lois was a part of the church staff and had faithfully been serving as bookkeeper for many years. She was a fount of information, had stories of family connections and history in the congregation. That was an incredible gift for me to learn as a new pastor. We give thanks to God for Lois's life, and we will celebrate with her loved ones next Saturday at 10 a.m. There will be a luncheon reception following the service after burial at Highland. Virginia Yon is graciously coordinating that for us. The family has requested sandwiches. We'll have salads and chips and cookies. Talk with Virginia if you can help provide some food or you'd like to help serve. We continue to pray for many who are living with cancer. Our prayers go out this week to Monica and Cal Decker. The plan is for Monica to come home on Wednesday. Please pray that this transition goes well and pray for Cal. Monica is not nearly as mobile as she was the last time she was at home. She's really not able to walk right now on her own. So Cal has learned how to transfer her out of the chair. They've made modifications at their residence, so he's ready for her to come. But it will be a big adjustment in lifestyle for both of them. So please pray for the Deckers. At chapel this morning, Judy Potter shared that last week she was traveling up around Montana, I believe, and she was able to spend time with her brother for the first time in 20 years. It was such a blessing for them to be together, and we rejoice with her. We pray for those who will be leading our congregation in a time of transition, for the elders who will give spiritual care, for our pulpit supply guests who will be preaching, some from within the church and some from the community. Prayers for those who will lead chapel as well, and prayers for our office staff, who no doubt will have some extra things show up on their desk. Our regional prayer partners today are the members of First Christian Church in Loveland, Colorado, and their pastor, Michael Stein. If you'd like to send greetings, there's a sheet at the back of the sanctuary you can sign. And the missionary we're lifting up is Ricardo Mayol, who serves in Guatemala. Are there others today that we want to add to our prayers? Paul.
I want you to turn great thanksgiving
Praise the Lord. We give thanks for answered prayers, that Paul Smith's mom's back is improving. That is good to hear. Keith. Prayers for Pam Rouse. She's having pain in her knees and legs and having a hard time getting around. Charles.
I know that Phil had already mentioned the dinner coming up on Wednesday. I would ask you to prayerfully consider, if you haven't already bought tickets, to do so. Not because we're having a great meal catered by Silver Fox, but we are. Not because this gives you an opportunity to listen to Diane Lynn Frame play piano. She used to be our accompanist a couple years ago. It was phenomenal. And we'll be doing a little concert. As much as we're looking forward to presenting that to you, that's not the reason. The money that we will raise for Week of Compassion goes to help the least of those in our ministry here in the U.S. and around the world. The Mission Commission hasn't decided where that money is going to go. Sometimes we just send it in and say, send it to where the greatest need is. But just in the past few weeks, we know there's been need in El Paso and in Dayton and other cities that have suffered with shootings. We know that there's still recovery efforts going on after Maria. There are still recovery efforts going on after Katrina, and that was 13 years ago. And so the need is here, and the need is now. And so again, I ask you to prayerfully consider joining us Wednesday night for a great evening of food and fellowship, but also doing something outside to stretch to the end of the year.
We give thanks to God for the work of Week of Compassion and the ways in which, because of generous congregations like ours, when crisis hits, we can respond immediately. I would also list a prayer concern for Bobby. He tried to come to church this morning. He's doing fairly well after having his pacemaker put in. He came early and sat downstairs and shared a cup of coffee and visited a little while, and then decided he was pushing it to be out and about so soon after heart surgery. So he's gone back home to rest. But Bobby is very appreciative of your prayers and all of the prayer cards that we sent him last week. Nancy. Prayers for the Vreeland family as they will gather for a funeral on the 19th for a beloved 5-year-old. Michelle. Prayers for Michelle's cousin, Kinsey, who lives in Texas. She's 27 and has stage 3 ovarian cancer. There is much in the world in need of God's healing, and there are many concerns on our hearts that we lift in prayer. Let us join together now in a time of shared silence as we seek solace in the Lord. O good and gracious God, it is by faith that your people come to you in prayer. Holy Heavenly Father, loving parents. We turn to you with prayers for all of your children. We ask, O God, that you would heal hearts made heavy by sorrow. We pray, O Lord, that you will travel with Nancy and all of her family as they gather for a hard funeral for beloved great-grandson. We continue to pray for Jackie Greenlee, whose family gathered here yesterday to remember Brad. And we entrust him into your eternal care. Lord, as we prepare to celebrate the life of Lois Cook, we give you thanks for her faithful service to you, for her peaceful passing. Though it seemed so swift, it was clear, O Holy One, that she heard you call and was eager to answer, to be with Jesus and be reunited with her husband, Elmer. O God, bless with peace Lois's children and grandchildren and great-grands. O God of hope and healing, we join with Michelle in praying for her cousin Kenzie, asking for your spirit to be upon her. Oh Lord, we pray for all of those who are living with cancer, seeking treatment, that they might be made strong and well. We pray for Bobby as he continues to recover from heart surgery and having received a pacemaker. Lord, we ask that his heart will beat strong and sure, and he will rest well and recover fully. Lord, be with Pam as she has difficulty walking. Ease the pain in her knees and legs. Help her to be strong. Thank you, God, for answering our prayers. We rejoice with Paul that his mom is feeling much better, that her back continues to improve. We pray for healing for so many who are in need. Thank you, Lord, for healing relationships as well as bodies. Thank you for the blessing Judy Potter shared to be reunited with her brother. Strengthen their relationship and bless them with peace. O Christ, through your compassion, we are called to respond in times of need. When refugees are forced to flee because of violence, when hurricanes destroy entire coastlines, when shootings disrupt communities, when tragedy comes, through the week of compassion, God, we have ways to be present with the least of these who are in moments of great need. We humbly ask that you would bless the efforts of this congregation as we gather for a delicious meal and a wonderful night of music and ministry. On Wednesday, we pray that through it all, you would bless us to support and strengthen the work of Week of Compassion, to respond with the heart of Christ. Lord, we pray for those who carry your heart in tangible ways. We ask you to bless Michael Stein and the congregation he pastors in Loveland. Be with Ricardo Mayol and the work he does in Guatemala. And Lord, we pray for your guiding hand to be upon this congregation and the search committee as we seek future leadership. We pray, Lord, that you will swiftly draw forward an interim minister who journey with this church in an in-between time. And we are already praying for the next senior pastor, the lead pastor of this church, whoever it may be. God, we ask that you are preparing the heart of a servant who will answer your call to come to this place, to rejoice in depth of relationship and caring here, to offer gifts of leadership, of preaching and pastoral care, and to cast a vision to guide your people forward in new, exciting, and challenging ways. Lord, until that call is complete, we pray your blessing upon all in this church who will shoulder extra burdens, who will share in leadership. We pray that you will bless the church board, the elders as they give spiritual care, those who will stand in the pulpit to bring a message. Holy and gracious God, bless each member of First Christian Church in Casper to move forward together with your Holy Spirit at the helm. Good and gracious God, it is by faith that we trust in you to lead us into a future we cannot yet see. May your blessings be many, and may our faithfulness be true. In the name of Christ, we pray and we live. Amen.
It is by faith that we come to the table of our Lord to share the bread and cup in Holy Communion. For now we dine with each other and hope that one day we will dine with our Savior face to face. It is also by faith that we trust in the financing. We have faith that there will be funds to keep this building warm or cool, depending on the time of year, the lights on, ministries, and groups going. Your tithes and offerings will help keep things going. Please give what you can. As you come forward for communion, please bring your tithes and offerings, as well as your prayer cards. If you wish to stay seated, communion will be brought to you. Our hymn of communion is number 381 in your hymnal, Take My Gifts.
This table is a place of gifts. Gifts come to us from God in the form of bread and wine. Gifts are given to the Lord through the human heart that is open to receive the presence of Christ. As we come to the table, we remember when Jesus was with his friends in the upper room. He took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and to us, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you, to forgive your sin and the sins of many. Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes. These are the gifts of God for the people of God." Let us pray.
The Lord's table, that we are family, the Lord's family. And it is now that we have the privilege of remembering our Lord Jesus and celebrating his life, his teachings, his physical death and resurrection from the bonds of death, and the wonderful ways he cared for and loved others, as he does us, even now. As we take this bread and fruit of the vine to our lips, remembering him, we pray that we may, each in our own way, open wider our lives to all your children and embrace them and their needs as we too have been cared for. We pray all these things in the name of our dear, loving, and forgiving God, through Jesus Christ. Amen.
We give thanks, O Lord, for all the blessings of life. Receive now these tithes and offerings as a sign of the gratitude in our hearts. Amen.
You'll notice, as it does every Sunday, that the bulletin says special music. Early in the summer, Charles and I talked about wanting to sing a duet together in a way as a farewell to the church, and we signed up for this Sunday to do that. We talked about singing, "Friends are friends forever, 'cause the Lord's the Lord of them. And a friend will not say never, 'cause the welcome will not end." But we decided if we tried to sing that, we'd cry. And then I thought about perhaps we could sing some church camp songs. Like, "Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you." But then, after we had signed up, Charles got drafted / volunteered to do a mini concert with Diane Lynn Frame on Wednesday night. And he's been practicing a lot and didn't really have time to practice for Sunday morning. And you know, if I try to sing by myself, I'm kind of off pitch. So we're skipping special music today. Our scripture is from Hebrews chapter 11. If you want to follow along in your pew Bible, it's on page 225 towards the end of the New Testament. The lectionary text for today is just a few verses excerpted for us. Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 3, and 8 through 16. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, and the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible." Picking up in verse 8, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven, and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them." Would you pray with me? O Holy One, it is by faith that we hear your voice through the stories of Scripture. Bless this time we share together in reflection that our faith may increase. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts to be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Hebrews 11 is a beautiful litany of people who lived by faith. The lectionary pulls out just those few verses for us to hear, but between the texts we've read this morning are included stories of Abel and Enoch and Noah. Continuing on in Hebrews 11, after where we left off, we hear of Isaac, Jacob, Moses, the people of Israel when they passed through the Red Sea, and Gideon, Samson, David, and others. They all lived by faith. And so we are called to live by faith as well. In our own midst, we have stories of those who have lived by faith. Stories of people like Lois Cook, who by faith peacefully answered God's call to head home to heaven. People like Cal Decker, who by faith served so strongly and well as our property chair and now will care for his wife full time. By faith, the people sitting in front of us and behind us are here, and by faith, you are here as well. Hebrews 11 begins with this beautiful poetic statement that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. How true that is. For so much in life we can't actually be sure of. So much in life we can't see until we get there. It's as if you're hiking in the mountains and every rise you crest shows another mountain further beyond. In the midst of that hike, there's only the ridge in front of you and you think you're almost there. You get to that ridgeline and there's another peak yet to come. Life is that way. We see one challenge or one obstacle or one day ahead of us. We live that and then there is another. It is only by faith that we keep on going. Striving. Folks who are gardeners know something about faith. Just objectively, if you look at a seed, a tiny little thing, it's almost like a stone, a little pebble, a rock. How on earth, if you didn't know, would you ever believe that you stick that in the ground, give it some water and sun, and there will be a plant that comes, that bears fruit, that blossoms and then passes on a seed for another generation. It's by faith that farmers plant crops. It's by faith that parents bring children into the world and love them and raise them. It's by faith that architects and contractors and engineers design and build not just buildings but entire cities. It's by faith that teachers teach and preachers preach and dancers dance and musicians play. It's by faith that humanity creates those things that are greater than ourselves. You see, there is something in the human soul that is infinite. We live in finite form while we walk this earth. But that's not all there is to the story. No, there is more that we cannot see, more that we can only receive by faith. I had a reminder this past week of God's grace that comes by faith. I was in the church office Thursday afternoon. My desk was piled high. Our secretary was out of town on vacation, and I was doing her job and mine at once, folding the bulletin and forgetting to email it to the elders. Sorry, Phil. Thanks for the text yesterday. In between the boxes and the phone calls, something stirred within me to remind me that this is holy, this thing that we call church. It was about then that Paul called to share with me that his visit with Lois was significant, and most likely his last. You see, when he was there, he talked with the family and prayed, but Lois wasn't responding at that point. And we knew she was headed to heaven. I was trying to get out of the office to go see Lois, but my mind just wouldn't let go of some details related to moving. And I decided, well, silly, you're not in charge, God is. And I walked into the sanctuary and I sat down in the back pew, about where Nyla is this morning. And I said, God, I'm really stressed and worried about this whole closing thing. Guess what happened this week? We were supposed to close on our house in Casper on Monday the 19th. The buyers called our realtor and said, can we close on the 16th and get the house over the weekend? Initially, my stress was like, no, that's crazy and impossible. I told the realtor, how on earth will I get the house clean? So the buyers were eager enough to get the house that they said, well, you don't have to clean it. You don't have to take the nails out of the wall and patch the holes and paint. And I'm like, sweet, let's sign the papers. And then when I figured out there would be time to close on the house here and wire money to pay for the house in Oregon, I was still worried that we wouldn't be able to close there before the mover showed up with a truck full of stuff to unload. So I sat in the back pew and I said, God, please bless our mover so that he doesn't dump our stuff on a street in Portland. And then I let go of it and I went back to the office and I was finishing up some paperwork and I was about to head to the hospital to see Lois and my phone rang. And on the other end was Mover Bob calling me from Tennessee. Hi, I just wanted to introduce myself. I've moved a lot of preachers before. I know you guys get kind of stressed. I don't want you to worry. I'll be in town next Wednesday. I know I said I'd pack on Thursday, but I'll come by on Wednesday and help a little bit extra, see what you got. We'll get it taken care of. Wow, Bob, it's great to hear from you. How fast do you need to leave Portland? Well, I don't have another load lined up yet. I have to be there on the 18th to drop off somebody else's stuff. I said, is there any way you could kind of drag your feet before you dump my load? Just kind of hold off a little. He said, well, if I was home in Tennessee, it would be great. I'd tell you to take a whole week, but I can't quite do that. I said, well, we were supposed to close on the 23rd. We're trying to close on the 20th. He said, I'll keep your stuff on my truck till the 21st. It doesn't happen every day that you pray specifically to God, take care of my mover, and 5 minutes later the phone rings and it's the mover on the other end. But it does happen. By faith, we are allowed to recognize little miracles when we see them. When Charles and I were in Des Moines for General Assembly, I had had a day-long continuing ed event before the church meeting started, and we decided to go for a drive and try out a restaurant he'd seen online. So we were driving across Des Moines. I thought, hey, this neighborhood looks kind of familiar. We were in the Urbandale area, about where my grandparents used to live. On the way back from an afternoon errand, I said, hey, Charles, can we drive down 50th Street? And we did. We stopped in front of 3215 50th Street, right outside of a two-story house that somehow is not as big as it used to be. It's the house where my grandma and grandpa lived, and my sister and brother and I used to prowl around in the attic in hot summer dusty days looking for treasures or go down to the basement and play in between the clocks grandpa was repairing and the canned goods grandma had put up from the garden. The house didn't really look quite as I remembered it. But in the front yard, there is a majestic tree. It's huge. It's twice as tall as the house. Talking with my sister, she reminded me that it was our grandfather who planted that tree. It is by faith that people believe in a future you can't yet see. It is by faith that you plant a tree knowing it will outlive you and it will outlive your grandchildren. Some people choose to have cats or dogs as a pet. They're cuddly and affectionate. Some people, like my niece, prefer guinea pigs because they're mobile and easier to travel with across country. I've reflected on that as we prepare to move to Oregon with a dog and two cats, perhaps in my car without my husband. Insanity runs in my family. At some point during the week, before the mover called to allay my fears, I was feeling envious of Abram and Sarai, who became Abraham and Sarah. I was thinking how much easier it would be to not have more stuff than would fit in one tent, the back of a camel. And then I remembered that later on in Scripture, as you continue reading stories about Abraham and Sarah, at some point he comes out to meet his grandson, Lot. I'm getting the story scrambled. But at one point, Abraham shows up, and he has flocks and herds, not just one or two donkeys hauling stuff, but goats and sheep and servants and slaves and an entire village. I decided I shouldn't be jealous of Abraham. It's actually easier to let Mover Bob fill up one truck and haul it for you. But there is something in the story of Abraham that speaks to us of being people of faith, of trusting when God calls you to go on a journey that you can't see what the other end is going to look like. I'm not just talking about pastors who answer God's call, maybe to move, of all places, from Wyoming to Oregon, but I'm talking about the people of God who hear God calling them to step into a future that is uncertain. A future where things will undoubtedly change, and yet God will still be present. It is by faith that people plant trees. It is by faith that people move forward in ministry. Now, maybe you're a dog and cat pet kind of person, or maybe you're like my sister. My sister Debbie, the veterinarian, in addition to dogs and cats and fish and birds, she has a pet turtle. It's an African tortoise named Savannah. She got Savannah as an adult. She adopted this little turtle. The lifespan of this species of turtle is at least 70 years. My sister has a pet that numerically will live longer than she will. It's a commitment of faith to adopt something, to care for a living creature that's going to outlive you. My niece and nephew, Kathy and Josh, they go back and forth talking about who's going to inherit Savannah because she comes with her own living habitat that fills up like half the living room and the commitment to feed her. I know the turtle will be well cared for long after I am gone. So too, by faith, I know the church in this place will be well cared for long after I am gone. When Reverend C was here and God called him to move to Oklahoma, my guess is there were folks sitting in the pews who were pretty nervous about what would happen next. And when Dr. Badger retired, my guess is there were people in the pew who were thinking we're never going to find another Dr. Badger and Kathy and Jenny and granddaughter Brianna. But here we are. So for those of you who think Pastor Cindy's leaving, rest assured the roof is not going to fall in. Church will be church. God's Spirit will be here because you are here. It is by faith that we answer God's call to step into the future even when we can't see it. What beautiful words these are. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. One more story to share. When I was in kindergarten, I was playing in the backyard of my parents' house, and I found a caterpillar. Just like Blake Stupak is into rocks, I went through a phase. When I was into caterpillars, I found them everywhere. This one had yellow and black and white stripes. It was so colorful. I was so excited to find it. I went inside and showed it to Mom, and she got a glass jar and poked holes in the lid, and we put the caterpillar in the jar. She showed me how to find just the right kind of leaves for it to eat so it would be happy. On Monday morning, little kindergarten Cindy took that caterpillar to show her classmates and her teacher. The teacher had a large terrarium with a screened top. We made a new habitat for that caterpillar. It crawled around every day. Our little faces were pressed up to the glass to see in amazement how much it had eaten, how big it was getting. And then one day we were all worried. The caterpillar had climbed up a stick and somehow gotten stuck on the screen on the top of the cage, and it was writhing and shaking and going crazy. We were all afraid there was something wrong with it, and the teacher very calmly said, "No, it's okay. Just wait." It kind of made itself into a shape like a J. The next day we came in, and that little wiggling caterpillar was perfectly still, and somehow it had spun around itself what looked like a bright green jeweled case with a little bit of black stitching at the bottom. Some of the kids in the kindergarten class were worried. Where did it go? What happened to Cindy's caterpillar? Where is it? What's wrong? The teacher assured us, "The caterpillar is still here, but it's being transformed. It's being changed. The caterpillar will look very, very different, but don't worry. It's just made a little house for itself. Wait and see." That was how my kindergarten class came to learn about monarch butterflies, and we all waited eagerly for the butterfly to emerge, and in the spring it did. There was a parade with little students carrying this container with a butterfly through the halls of the church out to the front lawn where we took off the lid. And for just a moment, that monarch butterfly perched there and spread its wings to dry them, and then flew away, flitting back and forth and drifting higher until it was out of sight. There are times, my friends, that we feel like that caterpillar. We gorge ourselves on life. It's what we know. It's what we can see. It's familiar. It's comfortable. But God calls us to be transformed, to risk changing completely, to embrace a future that even includes flight. May this congregation live by faith and plant trees and spread your wings and travel far where the Spirit leads you, even without ever leaving home. May you live and serve by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Our closing hymn today is number 638. "In the bulb, there is a flower." If there's anyone here this morning who's been thinking about making First Christian your church home, maybe you've thought, "Well, I came here and kind of liked the pastor and she's leaving and I don't know what the future's going to be like." Rest assured, this is a strong, healthy, loving church, and you will be welcomed into membership here. Maybe there's someone here today who needs to recommit their heart to God. If that's the case, you're invited to come forward as we stand and sing, "In the Bulb, There Is a Flower." Thank you.
button. For the past 10 years, we have all waited in anticipation for your stole to end up on the floor. It's behaving itself today, but this is a clear button to put on the back of your robe to button your stole so that it doesn't end on the floor.
Thank you.
This is from the rest of us. The box is just a box. It's what I had.
Aww.
We wanted to give it to you this week so you could preach in it at least once before you left.
It is a beautiful stole made by our church quilters. It says, "Be the change you want to see." And it has Wyoming mountains on it.
And church ladies, it also says, "We have laughed together, we have cried together. We have shared worship and prayer and grief. Our mission leads us on different paths, but we are family."
Amen. Thank you.
And there's a little buttonhole on the back of it.
I got the hint. That is truly beautiful. I do hope that everyone who's here will be able to come next Sunday. I promise that I will cry more in worship then than I did today. I will sing off key, as I always do, and share God's word with you for the last time, though I know that God's word will continue to live in our hearts, though separated by miles. We are family, and the gift of church is that the span of the ages, the distance between states, and even the distance from heaven to earth does not separate us one from another. Every time you're at the Lord's table, I will be there with you. And on my first Sunday in Portland on September 8th, when I go to communion, I will remember communion here. And so the saints of the church there will have your presence with them. Now, we're not saying goodbye today. I've got one more Sunday and a week and a half of work and lots to get done. So let's go have some coffee downstairs. I'll pray us out of here. And we can visit some more. Now, O God, may you keep us buttoned up when we start to slip. May you help us laugh when we want to cry. May you keep us moving with faith that you will take care of the details we can't cover. O Lord, by faith, send your people forth this day to live, to love, to serve in peace. With Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.